Jesus, we thank you so much for loving us. We thank you that you pursue us. We thank you that you come to live inside of us. You make us alive. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for birthing us into the family of God. You are so incredible. This morning we want to uplift your name, Jesus. We want to see what you would have us to see out of your word. We commit it into your hands. We commit not just the teaching, but the learning, the hearing, the receiving. We just want to hide you down inside of us like a seed in the ground, that you would bring forth a plant and fruit unto yourself. We say thank you, Jesus. You're so awesome. Nobody like you. Amen. We've been talking about the Word of God. Years ago, God taught me to, not just read the Bible every day, but to write down a verse that stood out to me, at least one verse. Normally it was 3 to 5, and I would write them on 3x5 cards and carry them around with me and meditate on them through the day. And you know that verse where it says, Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Well, how are you going to meditate in it day and night? I would be at work, my mind's other places, and so I wrote them on 3x5 cards, and I would carry them with me. And through the day, it was like the Holy Spirit would be like bringing it to my mind, but I couldn't remember exactly word perfect, so I would pull out and look at it, stick it back in my pocket. That's how I memorized thousands of verses, okay? By doing it that way. But it helped me to keep my mind on the Word of God, of what God had just spoken to me that morning. Okay? Just an encouragement. Just something to think about. I want you to turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll start with verse 12. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. The Bible is spiritually discerned. I wrote something in here I wanted to read. The Bible is not just a book about God, but it is His very words to us. And you may say, I already know that, but think about it. The Bible is not just a book about God, but it's what God said. This is exactly what I want you to hear. It's exactly what you need to hear. It's my word to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. The Bible is spiritually discerned. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, the man not born again, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned or understood or judged. But he that is spiritual judges all things, discerns all things. Yet he himself is judged or understood of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The word, some people say they cannot understand the Bible. I tell them it's a love letter for Christians. Are you a Christian? Because if you're not a Christian, the thing that you're going to understand when you start reading the Bible or hearing about God is that you need to repent and believe on Jesus. That's what you're going to understand, because that is the doorway to God. That is how we enter into God. And if somebody is not born again, they're not going to understand the Word of God. Before we're saved, we are born physically into this world and we're alive to the physical. When we are born again, saved, we are born into the spirit realm. Now all of a sudden the spirit realm becomes real to us and we start understanding things. We're now able to understand things of God. Okay? The Bible is spiritually discerned. Okay? There are people that say they cannot understand the Bible. Only those who have the Spirit of God inside of them really can understand the Bible. After we are born into God's family through receiving Christ, we can understand the Bible. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. As newborn babes, that means to intensely crave, to desire. It says, as a newborn baby, intensely crave the sincere milk or the true beginnings of the Word of God. When a baby, when one is this little child, they drink milk. They start off with milk. And then as they get bigger, they start eating a little mush. And then they get to where they can eat meat. Okay? But the Bible says, as newborn babes, as a newborn, you start off with the milk of the Word. You need the basics. Okay? And we need to desire that. Why? That we may grow thereby. We will not grow without eating. We won't grow spiritually. Very important. Okay? The Bible is spiritually discerned. That was point number four. Point number five. The Bible is alive and powerful, and it gives us life. Hebrews 4:12, please. Hebrews 4:12. If you wanted a memory verse for the week, Hebrews 4:12 would be a very good memory verse. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick. That word quick means to be alive, like the judge of the quick and the dead. For the word of God is quick. For the word of God is powerful. For the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And the word of God pierces even to the dividing asunder or separates our soul and our spirit, our will from God's will. And it separates between the joints and marrow and is a discerner. The word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Do you know why a lot of people do not want to go to church or read their Bible? Even people that go to church don't want to read their Bible. Do you know why? They don't want to deal with truth. It's a truth inside of us. As you read the Word, it discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. We want to look good to others. That's why we doll ourselves up and paint ourselves and wear nice clothes. We want to look good to others. We want to put on a front. But what's behind the front? What's really inside? The Word of God is a discerner. It judges. It reveals the thoughts and intents of the heart. I would rather deal with the truth now than to stand in front of God and have to deal with it. Because then there's eternal consequences. And you know what? From now until I go there, am I going to have peace? Or am I going to feel guilty or feel like I have to hide? I would rather deal with truth. It's a light. The Bible. I just want you to know, when you go to share the Bible with somebody, see, people don't have any problem believing whatever they want to believe. They can believe all kinds of things about God. And they don't have any problem even going to church, a lot of people. But bring the Word of God in. And now they have to deal with it. Because the Word of God this verse is saying, it cuts right through everything and gets right down to what the truth is of what's inside of us. Have you ever been in church and let's say I'm preaching and you get mad at me? I'm not just talking about my personality or my flesh. I'm talking about the Word of God, like something is said and it begins to deal with you. I'm telling you, man, when I first got in church and the preacher would preach, I'm talking about this 1977 April. Okay. I first got in church. I would elbow Sue and said, who's telling him about me? I thought somebody was following me around all week. And then now on Sunday, he's getting up and telling everybody what I did. I'm like, man, he's telling everybody what I did. And she said, no, he's not. She said, what are you talking about? I said, man, he's telling them about me drinking. He's telling them about me rock and rolling. Because even though I was saved, all these things were in my life. That's where God found me. And God walks us out of them. And all these things were in my life. And it was really bugging me to be in church and be hearing all this, because I felt like he was like exposing all this stuff inside of me. It's like, hey, I'm trying to hide like everybody else, you know? I put on my face when I come here. I do my thing. I'm trying. I'm showing up. What's he up there telling everybody about me? She said, what's he saying? And I started telling her. She goes, he's not talking about that. She said, listen real close. I listened real close and he wasn't. But man, it felt like he was telling everybody about me. Because the Word of God begins to reveal inside of you what's inside. When you start talking to people about Jesus, if you've ever done that, you'll find out people do not, so often, they do not want to hear. They run from it. They want to argue. That's what that whole Jade thing is about. Justifying, arguing, defending, explaining, excusing, or blame shifting. It's Steve's fault. Steve made me do it. If that's right, if Sue would just be a good wife, I wouldn't do this. You know, I wouldn't lose my temper. See, I mean, that's what, hey, you think I'm kidding? We hear that from people we talk to. It's my so-and-so's fault. My mate's fault. It's my kid's fault. Maybe God just better stop. Okay, so go back. The Bible is alive and powerful. Hebrews 4:12. Go to John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth or makes alive. It is the Spirit of God that makes alive. Do you know if you ever go to a funeral, the reason you go there is because that person's spirit isn't in that body anymore. The Spirit makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The Word of God is alive and powerful. The Word of God is alive and powerful, and it gives us life. Psalm 119:25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. My soul, my mind, will, and emotions cleaves unto the dust. Have you ever, like, you read your Bible, you pray, you feel all spiritual, and then we're like, within an hour, sometimes you find yourself just being all carnal and worldly and hateful and selfish. My soul, my mind, will, and emotions cleaves, holds on to the dust, the world, the dirt, the low life. That's why we've got to take in more of the Word. That's why we've got to meditate on the Word. To stay alive. You like it when you're alive to God, right? You like it when you're full of love and joy and peace and acceptance. You love all that, right? All right. Look at verse 49 and 50, please. Psalm 119:49 and 50. Remember the word. This is like a prayer. God, remember the word. Remind me of your word unto your servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. This is my comfort. What? To hope in his word. That's what comforts me, because your word has made me alive. Go to verse 93, please. Psalm 119, 93. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. With your word you have made me alive. Look at verse 107, please. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, make me alive, O Lord, according to thy word. You have afflictions? Do you have problems? Verse 107, do you have afflictions in your life? Now, Nate doesn't, but everybody else in here? You have, like, afflictions, problems, trials. Wonder why other people are driving on your road. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. God, make me alive according to your word. God's got to bring us back to truth, because our soul cleaves unto death, unto dust. Okay? The Bible's alive and powerful, and it gives us life. Turn to Proverbs 6:24, please. 6:23. Proverbs 6:23. For the commandment, the word of God, for the commandment is a lamp. What's a lamp do? When we were up in that cabin up in the UP, without a lamp, what would we have had? Complete darkness. There was no lights around anywhere. We needed a lamp. You know, without the Bible, we are in darkness. The things we think and feel lie to us. For the commandment is a lamp. Notice he didn't say the suggestion is a lamp. The commandment is a lamp. Well, I just don't think we ought to tell people stuff. God does. There's right, there's wrong. He has boundaries. We try to give liberty, but you know what? There are boundaries. God sets them up. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Do you know how to live, the Bible says? Is to have reproofs or rebukes or correction of instruction in our lives. We want everything to just be positive. Everything can't be positive. There has to be some negative. I could tell some, like a child, if you do this, this will happen. Good. But when they don't do it, then I have to warn them. If you do this again, this is what's going to happen, and you ain't going to like it. Like my mom and dad used to say, you won't be able to sit down. And they weren't arguing. They weren't lying. They were telling me the truth. I pulled up in front of a guy's house this week, went to get out. He was bringing the trash out, and he said, now, what do you think? I've never even met this guy before. I don't even think I've ever talked to him. I only talked to his wife about going there to do a repair. I show up. It's in Grand Haven, Highland, somewhere. He comes out pushing the trash, this really nice house. He says, what do you think about that? I go, what? He says, I've got 3 kids, and I'm out here taking out the trash. He said, I've got 3 big kids, however he said it. You know, I knew they weren't like little dinky size. You know what I mean? They were. He said, what do you think about that? I said, we train up a child the way they should go. I said, you got to train them, but you only have to do it for 18 to 21 years, and you got to do it every day and be consistent, and you're never going to think they think. But if you're consistent until they move out, I promise. If you're consistent till they move out, when you go over to their house after they move out, you'll be amazed. The lights will be turned out. the toilet paper will be on the right way. Clothes will be folded, open their drawers. We did that with all of our kids after they moved out, thinking they would never going to take. Lord, are they ever going to learn? And you go to their house, you pull a drawer out, and everything was folded. And I'm like, dude, they didn't not only didn't have it folded when they lived at home, but it was under the bed or in the closet or in the trash compactor with Jim. That's where he put his clothes when he didn't want to have to do them. I thought I was going to finish today. We got two more to do, but the Bible is alive and powerful, and it gives us life. If you have a hard time reading the Bible, when I say if you have a hard time reading it, even if you have a hard time intellectually, you have a hard time reading, you have a hard time understanding, if you will spend more time asking God. There are people that have gotten born again who did not even know how to read. And years later, they still could not read anything except the Bible. But they could read the Bible. God will give you that if you will just keep reading it. Keep reading the Bible every day. Read it out loud, even if you're stumbling through it. The other day I came in here and there was a man here and Pastor Glenn was talking to him and he was saying stuff and I'm just waiting. I'm listening to God and God said, give him this verse. And I said, can we open a Bible? And I somebody handed him the Bible and he began to read and he stumbled through it. He mispronounced words and everything. But what I admired was that the man tried to read that Bible and he read it, but he stumbled his way through it. The Word of God is going to change our lives. The Word of God is going to change our thinking. It's going to make us alive. It is powerful. It is the seed of God. We'll bring forth more of God in us. Read the Bible every day. If I was to die today going home in a car accident, you know, and had a car accident, the thing I would hope that you got out of my life was love and read your Bible. Love and read your Bible. It is our lifeline. You're drowning and somebody's throwing you a life preserver. God's throwing you a lifeline. It's the Word of God. He said that we are supposed to be a light unto this world. You are the light of the world. He said, but a light's no good if it's not plugged in to a power source. That power source is God, the Word of God. We need to have that. Jesus, we thank you for entrusting us with your Word. I thank you for each one here. I ask your blessing on the reading and the hearing of your Word. We bind the enemy and all distraction, and we want to hear and receive and allow you to bring forth fruit unto yourself as your Word is planted in us. Help us to let it be planted and not just frivolous hearers. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Amen.